Good evening. I call to order the meeting of the Yolo County Transportation District June 14th meeting at 7:01 p.m. We would start with a determination of a quorum. Do we have a quorum?
I'd like to call roll at this time, Madam Chair. And apologies, please. I am promoting Director Stollard. Just give him a moment to join us if you don't mind. Okay, I will be going ahead and calling roll. City of Davis? Not yet present. City of West Sacramento?
Here.
City of Winters?
Here.
City of Woodland?
Here.
And County of Yolo?
Here.
And UC Davis, here too.
Marvelous. And I believe we also have our representative from Caltrans, Mr. Alex Padilla as well.
Here.
Well, welcome everyone. Glad to see you tonight. While we do Yolo County transportation business, our first item will be to consider tonight's agenda, approval of tonight's agenda. Are there any changes or questions from the directors on tonight's agenda?
Stollard moves.
Ledesma will second.
All right, we have a motion by Stollard to second Ledesma. Roll call vote, please. And I would like to acknowledge that Lucas Frerix is here.
Okay. City of Davis.
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
City of Woodland?
Aye.
County of Yolo?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. The next item on our agenda tonight is public comment. Comments from the public regarding matters not on the agenda but within the purview of YCTD. And please note the board is prohibited from discussing items not on the agenda at this time. Clerk of the board, have we received any public comment on items that are not on our agenda?
No.
Okay. Are there any persons in attendance who would like to speak on an item that's not on our agenda tonight?
Not at this time, Madam Chair, but I would like to remind those in attendance, if you wish to make a public comment, please click on the raise hand button on your specific device. And if you're on the phone, I believe it is *9 to raise your hand. As of this time, Madam Chair, we do not have requests for public comment.
Thank you very much. We'll be moving to our consent calendar. And I just want to mention that after the vote on our consent calendar, I do want to cover some public comment that we received via email on our consent calendar. But first, I would consider whether there are any changes in tonight's consent calendar or a vote.
Are there any changes? Happy to move the consent calendar.
All right. Moved by Frerix.
Ledesma, one second.
Ledesma seconds. Great. Can we have a roll call vote on the consent calendar, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. City of Davis.
Aye.
City of West Sacramento.
Aye.
City of Winters.
Aye.
City of Woodland.
Aye.
And County of Yolo.
Aye.
Would Acting Director Perez or any other, or Kathy, want to mention the items that we received via email?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I'd like to address briefly the items. There were two comments that were forwarded to the Board of Directors for their consideration with respect to item 4E on the consent calendar, receive update and set public hearing on Yolo Go implementation. The first comment expressed some desire for modifying the schedule of the Route 42 to help accommodate specifically the South Davis area, which if Yolo Go is implemented as proposed currently, would reduce some number of stops in that area. And I'd like to stress that it has been staff's intent to take the recommendations and suggested schedules to the public for their comment and feedback prior to making any permanent recommendations or implementing any changes. That timeline is scheduled for the summer of 2021. And our board has voted to approve setting a public hearing date. We aim to have that public hearing in July so that we can spend the remainder of the summer, mid-July and August, providing information and awareness to any implemented or proposed changes to the Yolo Bus network. Related to that, an additional public comment was received expressing some requests, suggestions for enhancement or improvement of the Route 42, which we'll take as part of our public comment and refinement of those services, which includes some of this, just a little bit of the detail about that request, was to consider specifying the peak periods where we aim to increase frequency along the Route 42 and some other coordinating measures and suggestions. So we very much appreciate the public providing those kind of feedback. We welcome them, and we look for a lot more as we move forward towards implementing these long time coming YOLO Go changes.
Thank you. Without further ado, we will begin our regular calendar discussion items. We begin with item number 5. Board members, do we have any reports tonight? I have one. I participated in the UC Institute of Transportation Studies webinar partnering with historically underserved communities in transportation. They presented information on decision-making and the locus of public service and models that work against historically underserved communities. It was really thought-provoking, and I look forward to any information from them in the future. Moving on to item 6, selection of the chair and vice chair for fiscal 2021-22. Acting director, will you be covering this, or Kathy Souza?
I'd be happy to cover this very briefly, Madam Chair. It is time again for the YCTD Board of Directors to consider, nominate, and ideally select a chair and vice chair for the upcoming fiscal year. Presented on the screen, you should be able to see is a little bit of the background of the staff report, which explains the prior chairs and vice chairs, including the current yourself, Madam Chair Loren, and Vice Chair Director Don Saylor. If YCTD continues to desires, and the board desires to continue how we've historically been nominating, or have historically been nominated and selected chair and vice chair in the upcoming fiscal year, Director Don Saylor, Supervisor Saylor, would become the chair, and Director Stollard would be his vice chair.
Excellent. The chair recognizes Mr. Stollard.
Thank you. Director Saylor called me this afternoon to suggest that it might be a good idea if Chair Loren can continue to serve as chair through the July 12th meeting, at least to the July 12th meeting. At the point, we'll be selecting a successor director. And I'm completely comfortable with that idea. Both our officers have served us very well and put a lot of time in that process. So I'm happy to see it go to its conclusion. But I think it's just fine to proceed with our selection this evening. And I'm happy to nominate Don Saylor for chair.
I'm happy to nominate you, Tom Stollard, as vice chair. And I would accept extending for 1 month with deep gratitude. I'm really embedded in this process, and I really it would be a deep honor and pleasure to see it through. Any other clarifying comments from board members? Sorry, Tom, go ahead.
I said go for it.
Thank you. All right, seeing none, is there public comment on the item?
We do not have any requests at this time, Madam Chair.
Chair Loren, I'll second both those motions, and thank you for your leadership and kind of applying the glue where it needed to be applied over the last few months. And I think it is very sensible for the continuity, and I appreciate Tom's nomination.
I don't know what to say. Except the motion. It's and it would call for a roll call vote. Thank you.
City of Davis.
I think I'm supportive of the motion, but I just would love to have a recap of the actual motion by our council or board clerk or somebody. Would be really helpful. Thank you.
Sure, Director Frerichs. As I understood the motion, it's that Director Saylor be appointed chair and Director Stollard be appointed vice chair, effective after the next meeting of the Yolo County Transportation District. So after July 12th, I believe the date is. But essentially, the new chair would take over for the August meeting.
Thanks so much for that, Hope. Fellow directors, is that your understanding of said motion as well? That's what I heard, but I just want to make sure. I'm happy to have the sort of status quo continue with Jesse as chair and Don as vice chair, and then we do a transition a month or so, whatever it is from now, but just want to make sure that is sort of is how you all understood it as well.
Yeah, I think my understanding of this is that this would allow us to complete the search process and be pretty close to what we would be doing anyway, and it just allows us this continuity. There might be a little bit of uncertainty about exactly the date, whether it's July 15th or July 30th or whatever, but I suspect we can work that out. And then under normal circumstances, I believe that the way it would work is if we made our transition tonight, it wouldn't become effective until the August meeting. But for business, it has to happen in between the meetings, or the July meeting, excuse me, the business that has to happen in between the meetings, which is what we're doing right now quite a bit of. It makes some sense for us to stay the course, and then we should have some clarity by July 12th on how things are unfolding.
Thanks for that additional explanation. Appreciate it. Yeah, I am definitely happy with support the motion. So count me as an aye.
Great. And if you don't mind, Director Frerichs, if we can just do that one more time with the roll. City of Davis?
Aye again.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
And City of Woodland?
Aye.
And County of Yolo?
Aye.
All right. Moving on to item number 7. Thank you for that. Item number 7 is a public hearing on proposed YCTD 2022 revised preliminary budget. It will be presented by Ms. Bryan.
Good evening, Chair Loren and members of the board. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I just want to give a real brief introduction of this revised preliminary budget. I put quite a bit in the staff report, and there's quite a bit of in the budget itself. So I'll just give you just a brief overview. The original draft preliminary budget was sent via email to all board members, city managers, and public work directors on April 30th. After receiving feedback from our partners and stakeholders, staff developed this revised preliminary budget that was distributed to you. It is also on our website for public review. I'd just like to bring to your attention just some of the changes from the preliminary budget. If you'd go down a little bit, Jose, right there. So there's an increase in budgeted executive director salary from the original budget. The addition of 3 new positions, that's a senior project manager, a procurement and grant specialist, and a communications and marketing specialist. And the reduction of 1 planning position, an associate planner. This is a total increase in positions of 2 FTEs. So also included is a minor increase in professional services for the preparation of an indirect cost rate proposal and some carryover projects that were budgeted in fiscal year 2021, and they will not be finished until early 21-22. Other changes include the addition of a new budget unit for administration. There you go. And that's we basically extracted the administration expenses from the operating budgets in order to highlight those administrative costs. And you can see that the differences from this hasn't changed from the, well, it has changed, but the change from last year's final budget. Those are the changes. And so total overall changes are down 4.59%. Operating is down 6.19%, and capital is up a teeny bit at 0.75%. So in the administration budget, the expenses there include salaries and benefits, services and supplies, utilities for the administration building and other miscellaneous expenses, and insurance for the entire operations. It sits in the administrative budget as well. And I'd just like to highlight, if you could skip down a little bit to the salary range. I want to highlight the salary ranges right there for the new positions and the executive director position. And those are the rates that we that came from the salary survey that I did on like positions throughout our county. So you can see the salary ranges for those positions. And then if we go down a little more, the revised preliminary budget includes funds for these additional staff that were redirected from the fixed route operating reserve. Now, this is the reserve that we set aside, the district sets aside and has set aside in the past for 4 months of operation expenses in order to help with cash flow of operating our service. Staff reduced the operating reserve from 4 months to 3 months of budgeted expenses this fiscal year. When it all comes down and is said and done, I think that we'll be able to move back up to 4 months. 3 months has worked in the past. We've done it before. 3 months is okay. I'm always more comfortable with 4 months reserve. I'd be happier with six, but that's just my, my worry. But we've done fine with cash flow. This year we're doing well. So we, staff conducted a salary survey for all positions in May of 2021. Proposed changes to salary ranges for the other staff, other than the four positions that I already mentioned, may be brought to your board after the new executive director is in place and reviews the survey that was completed. So these are the budgeted regular salaries for fiscal year 21-22. The four positions, executive director, and the four new positions are budgeted. You see what were budgeted in the salaries this year for 21-22. There's a mistake there. I apologize. It's the 21-22 salary, not 2021. There's also a line item you see here called administrative reserve. That is a portion that we're going to just kind of hold in reserve in case that it'll facilitate any salary increases for the other positions, the nine other positions that were previously that are previously budgeted. Any salary increases for those positions. So that's why that is just kind of sitting there in case we need that. So I'm ready to move on to the recommendations, and I can take any questions in the meantime.
Clarifying questions. I see Tom's hand is raised. Mr. Stollard, you're muted.
Thank you. I noticed you indicate that it was a staff decision to reduce the reserve from 4 months to 3 months. I would respectfully say that that should be a board decision. I think reserves are critical to the financial health or welfare of an organization. And I think policymakers should be deciding what the reserve policy should be. That's the case in our city. That's my input. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's a great comment. Other clarifying questions? The chair recognizes Mr. Dulcich.
Thank you. I wanted to just ask a little bit more detail about that same issue of reserves. I think my understanding of the district's budget has always been that our recent years before COVID, a balanced budget was possible by spending down reserves. And there were discussions about what is the appropriate amount of reserve. And both a question and sort of a learning experience for me. I think now we've been able to create this budget using the CARES Act money. So now I'm more thinking of successive years after this year and wondering, do we have carryover of the other CARES money? Like, what's our burn rate on the CARES money? And are we safely spending now, or should we be saving more of that this year for future years? Just kind of wondering how that, what our position is on that, using up that CARES money or other federal money that's available because of the pandemic response.
Okay, so the first issue that you brought up, Mr. Dolchich, is the using reserves or spending down reserves. And we went through this kind of discussion on what we're talking about when we put, when we have a balanced budget using reserves. That's just a kind of a misnomer. What that is when we budget it is carryover from the previous year. So we expended less than we budgeted. And so we budget that in the next fiscal year. It's a carryover. In terms of CARES money, we are still looking at about, at the end of 2021, somewhere around $4 to $5 million of CARES money remaining. We don't know. We have another $1.4 million in CRISA funds that we have not programmed yet or applied for yet. And we still don't know exactly what we're getting from the American Rescue Plan, or at least I don't. I haven't received that memo yet. But it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 million, something like that. So we're looking at how we want to program those funds in the future. We're doing okay, and I understand, Mr. Stollard, your worry about that. We have gone back and forth, and that's why we're bringing it to you tonight. We don't really have a policy on reserves other than it's approved by your board. We bring it to your board when we talk about the reserves we're keeping. We have gone down before. Again, I would prefer not to, but there was this interest in including new positions, and I didn't want to go and ask for more on from the cities than we did in the original budget. And so it was requested that we use some reserves, reserves that we would normally use. There are going to be a few more from, you know, I just kind of calculate an estimated amount and of what I think it's going to look like until we get our audit and close the books and we really know what we've spent and what we haven't. And so I believe that we're going to probably have more carryover because I tried to see things that I thought were going to be carryover, but I'm kind of conservative when I look at that because I don't want us to overshoot our carryover. I want to keep it. I'm pretty conservative in how I budget. So at this point, I really feel confident that we're going to be all right. And I think that 3 months will be okay for this 1 year. And I think we'll be able to go back and move it back up to 4 months next fiscal year budget. But that's entirely up to your board. We can take those out. We can, there are several things we can do. One is we can add more, LTF funds from the jurisdictions. We can also use some of our some of our remaining CARES Act funds for those. Those are operating positions, and they're for specific they are operating positions. It's a little harder with the project manager because that isn't necessarily for transit, and these funds are specifically for transit. But okay. But that's kind of what we're looking at.
That's helpful.
So we can do it, and it's, again, entirely at the pleasure of your board.
Thank you. Thank you.
The chair will be recognizing Director Saylor, then Ledesma. I just wanted to remind people that we do have a public hearing on this, and that we would be just asking the clarifying questions first before the public hearing and then returning to deliberation after that. The chair recognizes Director Saylor.
Thank you, Jesse. I think this is a board decision, and I think that's what we have before us. We have a recommendation on this budget. You know, 23 months is 25% reserve, and we have been budgeting with 4 months, which is it's 33% of the year's funding. That's a pretty substantial reserve. And as we've started to look into some of the financing, there's a fund balance that is programmed that is available to us. So that is also in place, is my understanding. I think that this kind of the genesis of this consideration of looking at the percentage of reserve was, how do we move this agency forward? And we know that the salary range for the executive director should be competitive for the quality candidates that we hope to attract. And that's reflected in the package. And we also know that there are some elements of work that have not been within the capacity of the existing staff resources to address. And so this is a proposal that kind of comes as a package. And when you look at the relative magnitude of the reserve percentage, it comes to a policy question for us. Do we want to move forward, or do we want to sit on a reserve that is substantially larger than most of the agencies that we're dealing with as colleagues on other boards? So that's where I will support the recommendation to alter the budgeting practice. And I think we should also ask not only that we look at the indirect cost policy that's included in recommendation number 4, but we should also codify a written policy for establishing reserve and what the reserve can be used for. So I think a reserve policy should be adopted by the board within the next 6 months or so. But I do support this budget proposal as an interim step.
Thank you so much. I feel pretty strongly for the same reasons, but I would like to open it up for our public hearing. Opening the public hearing.
I think Chris had a comment.
Chris, would you like to comment now?
No, I'll wait till after public comment. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Director Ledesma. I'd like to open up the public hearing. Do we have a comment for the public hearing?
We do not have any requests at this time, Madam Chair.
Seeing none, I'd like to close the public hearing, and the floor is yours, Director Ledesma.
Well, that was quick. I was hoping. But, good evening, everyone. Good to see everybody. First of all, thanks, Janice and staff for all the work putting into this. For one, I appreciate sort of the reorganization and of the budget to include an administrative function. It was just something that in past budgets has been, the way it was the approach was hard to differentiate between true administrative costs and what the cost of the service is. And I think this is a better way going forward to be able to view whether it's the ongoing fixed route budget or if it's the demand responsive services or frankly any other services that we may contemplate, how we add to that portfolio of transit and mobility options we may have, and looking at administrative staff is that supporting those, all those options, I think is the right way to do it. It's something that, you know, until you see it in front of you and how it might be measured, feels like something should have always been there, but this is a really good approach. I think the interesting part going forward is, you know, how do you compare fixed route service or demand services year over year? And that's probably some look backs in terms of how to extract it. I'm not sure it's worth the exercise, but certainly we're kind of tracking this overall expenses, which directionally will have us go in there. On the reserve policy, I think this is an issue that I've asked for in the past and learned in those questions that we're really talking about carryover, budget carryover or one-time money, not necessarily a true reserve policy, which as Dan has pointed out, we don't have. And mm-hmm. So I've just asked the staff and board leadership that maybe as we move forward, that should be a policy we have. I agree with Mr. Saylor that we, you know, we're by adopting a budget, we're adopting a reserve policy, what it is. And yeah, you're right. And we have our opportunity to vote on that today, that recommendation today. But there should be a reserve policy, sort of in how we approach it going forward. And I think vernacular language is important. So we're all used to our cities talking about reserves as true reserves. So I think it's important we adapt here as well so that we're all talking the same language and there's no confusion, but I appreciate discussion on that. And I think the only other thing is going forward, you know, I know this, you know, we'll have opportunities down the line and we've been having, I think all of us are having budget discussions in our cities and whatever else. And in that budgets aren't necessarily cemented down and that as we learn more about who we are and where we want to go, there'll be opportunities for us to shape this and mold this. And I think we're just going to have to be a little more, what's the word, fluid and sort of it, not that, but our principles are still there. Right. And I think that goes back to our vision and value statement. We talked about being sustainable and I haven't taken off my tick list of things we wanted coming into this year, which was sort of a 3-year to 5-year projection of where we're going. And I'm still concerned about that, in that we do need to see where we're going. The CARES Act funding and all the subsequent, federal funding that's coming, is good and will help us certainly in the short term. It sounds like we're going to have some carryover from this year from a budgeting standpoint as sales tax, local tax money is still coming in, which is good news. But part of the question we should be asking is its sustainability, which is again one of our values. So it's just one of those things. I'm supportive of this budget as it's been articulated but I don't think our work is done and I think we have a long way to go. So just want to thank for this really, really good first step. So thank you.
Seeing no hands raised, I would just like to make the comment that I hear you, Director Ledesma. I do think this is a first step, and it's an exciting step forward. It's an exciting step to put our values in people, in building our organization, and having an opportunity for the future. With that said, I would like to add, if there will be a motion on this item, I would like to add directing staff to review the indirect cost policy and bringing back to codify a cost reserve policy in this year. I don't think it's something that we can do by next month, but it is something that we should try to do. We should try to do in 2021. The chair recognizes Director Stollard.
Thank you. I appreciate the comments of all my colleagues. They're probably a little sweeter about it than I was. It's just that I really do believe fundamentally we have a fiduciary obligation as directors of this agency. I mean, we are responsible. Our reputations depend on good fiscal management of this agency, and it's obviously fundamental to the success of the agency as well. So I think, you know, it's important for us to pay close attention to us. I think the budget has some wonderful features. Bringing out the administrative costs separately, I think, is certainly good. And I thank you, Janice, and the staff for all the work you've done. And I do like the idea of having the issue of a reserve policy actually established by the board and revisited from time to time as necessary. And let me just say one more thing that I've grown rather used to in my city, and that is we do 5-year projections. And I mean, it's never easy. In this agency, everything's up and down all the time. But I still think we should be trying to do 5-year projections. For one thing, you can always figure out what salaries are going up due to step increases and benefit increases, costs, and the like. So you know, that helps inform what the reserve policy ought to be. If you're looking at deficits in future years, you want to have reserves in the years when you've got money to put in reserves. So anyway, I think we can all agree our goal is to do the best for this agency we can. And in that respect, I want you to know I'm supportive of the budget as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stollard. The chair recognizes Mr. Ferrix.
Thanks very much, Madam Chair. I appreciate that. A couple quick items. I just second or third or fourth my other colleagues' comments on the just sort of some of the changes in this budget this year. Pulling out the administrative sort of piece, I think, is really important. And also really do want to emphasize a couple quick points. One, that yes, agreed with, especially Director Ledesma, we are going to be, I think it's always been the case, but we, you know, routinely are sort of, visiting and revisiting the budget adjustments are needed. So I think that will continue, especially in light of as we're sort of still in somewhat of a precarious position, sort of coming out of the depths of the pandemic. I do also just want to make a quick comment with regard to the positions, the new positions as well. I think that these are wise additions to the current existing staff. I think that there is, I think it's to take some of these potential responsibilities such as grants and pursuit of grant opportunities and sort of layer it on to already existing positions, I think does a disservice to both existing positions and also the concept of really having a focus on seeking out grant opportunities. And so I think, for example, having that be a separate standalone position is a very wise move. And I definitely just wanted to, since we hadn't had much discussion yet in terms of the sort of potential new positions, just wanted to specifically, I think, oh, similarly, communications and marketing, I think is absolutely, again, it's a suite of skills and qualifications and such that really, I think, is deserving of its separate standalone position. And so there that somebody can be truly dedicated to working on that sort of set of issues. And, you know, I think it is deserving of sort of being called out and have separate standalone sort of position status. So thanks for the to the staff for all the good work on this. And but just wanted to make a few comments on with regard to some of the position sort of adjustments as well. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, if you'll entertain a motion, I will move to adopt the recommended revised budget.
And approval of the new positions.
And I'll second that if it includes this approval of the new positions as well as the salary range, yes.
And would you have a friendly addition to codify the cost of a reserve policy in the future and in any cost policy? I guess it's the indirect cost policy. Sorry, it's hard to say. Would you be adding that to your motion?
However, you stated it a little differently than I would, but it's fine. Just that it's a board decision as to what the reserve policy will be and that the reserve policy itself will be revisited later in the year.
And that we actually draft one this year.
Yeah.
I've got that.
That's draft one. All right. I am so proud to ask for a roll call vote on this item.
Great. City of Davis.
Aye.
City of West Sacramento.
Aye.
City of Winters.
Aye.
City of Woodland.
Aye.
And County of Yolo.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Yay. Who seconded the motion?
Direct opponents.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. It Fredericks?
Director Fredericks.
Yeah. Good. All right. Moving on to item number 8, presented by Acting Executive Director Perez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As always, a pleasure to present these items to the board, especially these important ones. This item pertains to a request for our board to review and provide feedback, direction on, and consider proposed changes to the current YCTV COVID-19 rider guidelines, which include certain safety policies and practices. The request here is for the board to consider the proposed revisions, but also to guide and direct us should the board feel that they need to be modified, enhanced, revised, et cetera. As a little bit of background, not to, reiterate the obvious, we've all been under the effects of the pandemic for the last 18 months. The state of California recently released an update to their blueprint for a safer economy, and indicating that Yolo County specifically has experienced between 2 to under 6 daily new cases per 100,000 residents. And in that same guidance or blueprint, they established some industry-specific guidance to reduce risks. And those state guidelines are going to become effective tomorrow, June 15th. With respect for specific to public transit services, including airlines, mass transit, rail, bus, they will no longer be subject per the states to physical distancing requirements or capacity restrictions. That does not impact or modify our requirement for face coverings for all travel and those waiting for public transit services. Again, that face covering requirement also applies to airports, public rail, and public mass transit, like our bus services and our UL Ride microtransits. We were able to confirm with the county, Dr. Amy Sisson of the Yolo County Health and Human Service Agency, that Yolo County does not intend to be more restrictive than the state with respect to public transit and COVID-19 capacity constraints or social distancing. And while our prior guidance did have some capacity constraints and was strongly suggesting or requiring social distancing, the revised guidance does, in fact, remove those requirements. The guidelines do continue to encourage social distancing whenever possible on board the buses. And again, at all times, all customers and those waiting for the buses that are public bus stops will be required to have a face covering as well as the drivers. So attached to the staff report is the note, the state guidance, which is effective June 15th. And this is for all industries after June 15th, effectively saying the county tier system will no longer be in effect. Other restrictions have been lifted. There are still some large scale indoor events. We'll have vaccination or negative test requirements through October, but those would not apply to our services. Again, specific to the public transit industry, the capacity constraints and social distancing requirements will be lifted effective June 15th. Attachment B, I reordered and renumbered the specific items here. These would be advertised to the public pending board approval. And I left the old language from the most recent version of these guidelines, which were effective November of 2020. So that our board could see what the proposed changes or recommendations are to these guidelines. With board's approval, guidance, recommendations for clarity or enhancement, and once approved, these guidelines would be translated into our appropriate languages, our Title VI languages, made available online. We would notice it through social media and begin immediately posting them inside our vehicles and key bus stop destinations to inform our customers of the removal of our capacity constraints and limits, as well as the reminder of recommending social distancing when possible, but not it being a requirement. With that, I'd be happy to entertain any questions or clarify this request at this time.
Do the directors have questions? The chair recognizes Mr. Dulcich.
Thanks. Jose, that was a great overview. Thank you. And I kind of off topic, but I'm slightly related here, is this question of has the executive team thought of how the board could help with the issue of vaccinations for either district staff or transdev staff? And where are we on that issue in terms of either promoting or requiring vaccinations?
I appreciate that question. Yeah. So with respect to vaccinations, our district has been working very closely with Yolo County Health to promote and help conduct, or not conduct, but participate in mass vaccination events earlier this year. We made that available and aware to all of our operators, our drivers, our partner TransDev. YCTV staff is 100% vaccinated, including our recent new hire interns. The operations team, I believe, is approximately a little over 50 to 60% vaccinated as the last time we specifically requested that information from TransDev. I'd be happy to provide an update to the board later on that. But what we've done recently is we offered free rides to vaccination events and to vaccination appointments. So what the district has been doing is on all of our services and modes, we allow customers to ride if they're taking the transit service to an appointment or a vaccination event to ride for free in both directions. We've been promoting that recently and coordinating with the assistance of Martin Tuttle with our local jurisdictions to promote their events and how to get to those events on transit. We are still continuing to allow those folks who are going to the vaccinations to ride for free. And in addition to that, we've been trying to coordinate with Yolo County Health opportunities for our operators and vehicles to be used to help transport vaccines and to help set up other vaccination events. We're still kind of trying to make the pieces work together and find time to coordinate and schedule that, but that offer has been made, and we are continuing those conversations with Yolo County to support those efforts.
That's all amazing. Wow, that's great. Do you know, it sounds like TransDev does not have a mandatory policy for drivers for vaccinations?
As of this time, I'm not aware of a mandatory policy. That's correct.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you. The chair recognizes Mr. Saylor.
I would be interested in pursuing the possibility of such a policy for TransDev, understanding why that wouldn't be a good move. I think that the drivers have a lot of interaction with members of the public. But in addition to exploring that possibility with our contractor, I think we could have a vaccine clinic at the YCTD headquarters if that would be something that would be desirable. We are going door to door. We in West Sacramento and Woodland, we've advertised that we will be, if you call, we'll have a team come and give you a vaccination at your home. So we're very interested in increasing the penetration of the vaccine completion for folks. And since our service does interact with members of the public who are mobile and move throughout the county's communities, it would seem to be very sensible that we would make every effort to do that. So Jose, if that's something that you're in, that you and the TransDev site team is interested in, then I think we can probably make that happen between the various resources you have represented here on the board.
I appreciate that support, Director Saylor. We will definitely revisit that topic with the county. We had at the onset of vaccine distribution made that offer, including a flow plan for right. vehicles to go in and out of our facilities to be able to facilitate those kinds of vaccinations. It's absolutely worth revisiting, and I'll be happy to do so.
Yeah, and to be clear, I'm suggesting for the employees of TransDev and mm-hmm. and their families, perhaps. And that's how we've done it at school sites and at other work sites. So, okay. I mean, it could be more than that, but definitely sometimes if people are working, they haven't been able to find time to mm-hmm. take themselves to the clinic. We can put the clinic where they work.
That's a great example of the Yolo way, collaborating together across agencies for the good of our region. Are there any other clarifying questions? Otherwise, I will entertain public comment. Is there public comment?
We do not have requests at this time, Madam Chair.
Seeing none, any other questions or comments from the directors? Otherwise, I would entertain a motion on the item to accept the proposed revisions of the YCTD COVID-19 rider guidelines as modified by the board, and to seek having TransDev have a vaccination policy.
I have another question.
Go ahead.
Jesse, has this rider guidelines, Jose, you mentioned that Dr. Sisson had been involved, that you've consulted with her. Has she looked at the specific language that you have here before us?
The proposed guideline language, she may have seen that, the prior version in November 2020. These proposed guidelines, I have not directly requested review by Dr. Sisson. I did pass that through YCTD's legal counsel prior to presentation to the board.
Okay, because I think it would be wise of us to ask for public health, the public health team to take a look at the language. There are a couple of phrases that seem to me to be a little archaic. The pieces about avoid touching your eyes, nose and mouth, it's always a good idea. I'm not sure if that's the language that Dr. Sisson would continue to recommend. Yeah, or how, so I think it would be good of us to maybe adopt it tonight contingent upon asking for any further guidance from public health.
If I may, I will go ahead, Director Saylor, and email it to Dr. Sisson right now to ask for any changes in guidance.
Yeah. And with that, I would move approval of the guidance contingent upon final confirmation from the health officer that it's consistent with current practice.
The item has been moved by Saylor. Do we have a second?
I'm happy to second that.
Frerich seconds. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
City of Davis.
Aye.
And City of West Sacramento.
Aye.
City of Winters.
Aye.
City of Woodland.
Aye.
And County of Yolo.
Aye.
I'd like to make a comment. Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. I'd like to make a comment based on this discussion, even though it's not on the agenda, just a comment that is content adjacent to the item number 8, and that is that I would just request that YCTD maybe move ahead with looking at when we would be returning to in-person meetings, maybe sometime in August, and maybe just looking at what we need to do to get back to in-person meetings.
Absolutely, Madam Chair. I will follow up as a separate discussion with Dr. Sisson as well on that specific topic and their guidance and recommendations for that.
Thank you so much. Moving on to item number 9, and it will also be presented by Acting Executive Director Perez.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. Item 9 is for information and the board's discussion. No action is being proposed or recommended at this time, other than receiving this update on a potential scenario here with YCTD and Unitrans and the University of California, Davis. So the university and Unitrans staff met with YCTD staff to discuss some COVID-related impacts to their staffing and service delivery, and they requested that we provide an update to our board, the board tonight, about a possible request for temporary assistance. And I want to stress any assistance requested would be temporary in the provision of local fixed route service within the city of Davis as early as this fall. In brief, without rereading the staff report, the recent COVID pandemic resulted in significant hiring impacts to the Unitrans team They rely on enrolled students for their operating team, all of their drivers, and majority of their maintenance team and admin staff as well. With the return to the planned return, as we understand it, of the student body in the fall of this coming year, Unitrans anticipates a significant increase in the level of demand in ridership, and they have been unable to recruit the anticipated needed operators to run the service as they would have in the fall if COVID had not been a factor. So Unitrans is exploring a number of different scenarios and options along with the City of Davis and the university. One of those potential options would be a request for temporary assistance from Yolo County Transportation District to operate some routes in lieu of Unitrans operating them directly. They did note that if YCTD is able to implement the frequency expansion of the Route 42 A and B, along with the currently proposed route alignment change, that would significantly reduce their in-house demand for ridership by covering a very popular corridor. In brief, again, if we were to do this level of assistance, it would be temporary through about, at the latest, I think they said would be the spring quarter, but more likely closer to 6 months. And there will be some minor operational considerations, logistical things that we knew, including a pilot agreement, simplifying our existing fare and transfer agreements between Yolo County Transportation District customers and Unitrans customers. With that, I would love to clarify any of this. I understand Director Dulcich also may be available to help clarify the position from the university. I don't want to put any onus on you, Director Dulcich, but I would be happy to assist in clarifying and answering any questions the board may have.
Thank you so very much. The chair recognizes Mr. Dulcich.
That's great. Thank you, Jose. I can't answer more questions, but I do want to amplify the uniqueness of this request. This is sort of a once in a generation kind of partnership that we're wondering about. And it is truly derived from the effects of the pandemic. With Unitrans, the operation relies heavily on student drivers and kind of a constant churn of those drivers with graduations or student drivers deciding they would like to move on to another job. We are constantly training and licensing and getting new drivers ready for the upcoming fall quarter. And with students being out of Davis last year with less bus routes running and a variety of other factors, we were not able to train the next generation of bus drivers for Unitrans. We're now looking at three options. One is to try to catch up, and we've done through April and May a bunch of incentive programs to try to get more drivers interested in signing up, trained, ready to drive in the fall. We're offering them some summer subsidies to stick around and improve their training and driving skills. And ultimately, we will keep pushing on that effort, option one. We don't think it will be successful. Our option two is this idea of a partnership where for maybe fall, winter, and maybe spring quarter, YCTD would be able to help supplement some of the routes that we wouldn't be able to serve because of a lack of drivers. And then our option three would be to just cut those routes in Davis and have a reduced service level for Unitrans and essentially ask students to consider finding buses that are less full, less matched to their schedules, or find other ways to get to campus. So those three options are what we're wondering about. We're really racing to try to push option one, but like I said, we don't think it's going to be successful, and we wanted to test or at least preview for the board this idea that we might be wondering at the July meeting about a partnership and board approval to pursue a partnership. So that's the effort, and it is a pandemic after effect, but one that we're hoping that we can solve either creatively or with this new focus on training new drivers. So thank you.
Thank you so very much. Thanks for your elaboration. Any other comments from board members on this?
It's a good idea.
Good idea. Chris? Lucas?
I'll just quickly say yes. pursue it. I mean, I think this is what we directionally had in mind, is finding partnerships that work for the benefit of our riders, no matter whether the university or residents in our city. So, yes.
Thank you. Lucas?
Yeah, I fully support the idea and the concept. I mean, we're fortunate to already, the City of Davis, be a 50-50 partner with the university on funding of Unitrans. So certainly, and rely on Unitrans quite extensively for in terms of transit needs in our own community. But definitely think that if there's an ability for YCTD to pitch in and help collaborate and figure out a solution to this pressing need, we should do it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'll come as well. I think that when we consider the essential mission of the Yolo County Transportation District, this is exactly on point. When one of our member jurisdictions or a transit partner has a dilemma or an operational problem, they should be able to come to YCTD and have us be a part of the solution. So I think this is very consistent with our conversations as a board on how we on our how we want to be and how we want to be seen in the region. So I think as we get into it, looking at the essence of, didn't we just celebrate about 2 years ago the 25th anniversary of, I guess it may be 5 years ago now, the 25th anniversary of Unitrans? So it's going to continue to evolve, and we're going to continue to be a part of it.
Don, it's more like the 50th anniversary.
Yes,
was it 50?
The 50th anniversary.
Rich Duran, Dave Duran, and Rich Klecker.
Very good.
President of UCD in 1966-67.
Well, you know, 25, 50 years, it's hard to keep track.
All the same. Thank you so very much. Is there any public comment on this item?
We do have a request, Madam Chair, from Andy Ferrillo, and as a note, Mr. Ferrillo is a member of our Citizens Advisory Committee.
The Chair welcomes comments by Andy, and you have 2 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Loren. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. So I'm Andy Ferrillo. I'm a Davis resident, and as Jose mentioned, I'm a member of YCTD's Citizens Advisory Committee. I'm also a member of the Unitrans Advisory Committee. As neither advisory committee has had a chance to discuss this item yet, I'd like to, in my personal capacity, express my strong support of YCTD operating assistance as an option to help meet transportation demand here in Davis. As UC Davis and the community return to normal operations, and Unitrans addresses its labor shortage. The benefits of more bus service show how strong coordination between transit providers makes it easier for people to get where they need to go. The proposed partnership and fare integration associated with it also aligns perfectly with all of your efforts to broaden YCTD's focus and holistically address access needs throughout our county. In addition to the obvious short-term benefits, a YCTD Unitrans operating arrangement this fall and winter can help us make our region's transportation system more resilient for the long term. Specifically, the experience of sharing bus garages as part of the partnership later this year should be seen as a chance to prepare for keeping local and regional transit service stable using one agency's garage in the event gun violence, a natural disaster, or other emergency renders either the YCTD or Unitrans garage unusable. The recent attack on VTA's San Jose rail yard not only senselessly and unacceptably took the lives of frontline transit workers, but every day continues to play with the livelihoods of tens of thousands of people who rode transit services that are now indefinitely suspended. While I hope the YCTD and Unitrans facilities are never similarly targeted, my trip last week on Yolo Bus Vehicle 1706, the bus that was struck by gunfire during the mass shooting that killed Davis police officer Natalie Corona, reminded me how important it is to be prepared for this threat. Thank you for considering my comment.
Thank you. Do you feel like you have enough direction from the board and public comment on this, Jose?
I do, Madam Chair, and I will be sure to continue the conversations and continue to support Unitrans and the university in the scenarios that they end up developing and deciding is going to be the best interest of their agencies and the region.
Excellent. We'll be moving to item number 10, considering the director's report. Acting Director Perez.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. I'll be fairly brief on these. I did want to provide an update to the board on the Citizens Advisory Committee, the CAC, and specifically the workshop that they are working on. They began a strategic discussion on May 18th and continued that discussion to their June 7th meeting. And at that meeting, they expressed support for YCTD to move forward as a multimodal agency and to develop that business plan. In addition, they wanted to make sure that using the term transportation demand management was emphasized rather than congestion management as a suggestion, and ensure that trails are practical in providing access to transportation nodes and other options, as well as supporting and potentially identifying other cost-effective alternatives, and seek to leverage SACOG resources, which I think is definitely a direction that this district is going to be utilizing more and more, the expertise and the resources at SACOG to supplement and support staff. We did attach the draft minutes of the Citizens Advisory Committee meeting and the Technical Advisory Committee, which also met that same June 7th. With respect to the Causeway Connection, we continue to have our monthly coordination and operation meetings with Sacramento Regional Transit and some UC Davis staff to address routine operational concerns and to clarify near and long-term opportunities and goals for the service. We will be considering some additional longer-term considerations, such as long-term funding and sustainability, especially given the earlier conversation we had tonight with respect to the budget and making sure that we have that long-term funding plan for the long-term health of all of our services. We've also received some recent customer requests for additional bicycle capacity and amenities, storage at key locations and onboard the vehicles to the extent possible, as well as some requests to investigate future vehicle needs on that service and some other amenities that might be desired, such as the possibility and potential implications of procuring vehicles with seat belts and other amenities for this service. With respect to the Route 215 changes, generally speaking, ridership on the Route 215 has stabilized. We are continuing to monitor that ridership along with the Route 42. The Route 215 is one of our core services that frequently was butting up against those capacity constraints that we implemented during the COVID pandemic. We feel that with the tonight's approval or adoption, pending comments and direction from Yolo County Health, that the relieving of that capacity limitation will definitely help in making that service more productive, a little quicker on board. We'll be able to utilize our staged vehicles for other service demands and needs, such as for bus vehicle breakdowns or heavy traffic, rather than using them as solely capacity buses on those services. So beyond that, we are continuing to coordinate and be a good partner with County of Yolo, as well as the Yokadehi-Winton Nation, with respect to a possible updated or amended memorandum of understanding for the services that we provide. I would like to touch briefly on a currently scheduled for Saturday 26, a virtual meeting, a workshop for the Capital Corridor Joint Powers Authority, or CCJPA's Link 21 project. And Link 21 is a long-range transportation program that's sponsored by the CCJPA and the San Francisco Bay Area Rapid Transit or District, or BART. It's effectively a longer-term vision for the mega region with respect to rail travel, but it also is fairly comprehensive, looking at some infrastructure improvements, and this is a new rail crossing, and how we can basically serve the region better and to accommodate even more travelers. Supervisor Saylor has generously agreed to provide introductory remarks during that meeting. And as we get the program details from the event coordinators, we'll be sure to help support and promote that on YCTD's website and through social media links and tags. So in addition to the report, there's an update here on the monthly progress report on the previously established three primary goals and desired outcomes for a succession plan. As we are in a transition period and are currently recruiting for a permanent executive director, a number of these items will require the guidance and direction from that permanent executive director in coordination with our board. But once that person is on board, They'll begin working on finalizing and enacting the necessary activities for the succession plan, as well as longer-term planning and updates. Very briefly, we do have Kristen Mazur here, who's been assisting with the development and the continuing progress on our YCTD update. I'd like to give her an opportunity to give a very brief overview of where we currently stand. If she doesn't mind.
Jose, could I, since you're pausing, if I could make a comment. Thank you for mentioning the Link 21 community forum idea. I just want to bring it up because the June 26th date is not going to be the one that is final. They're going to be doing a couple of preparatory things, including a pop-up in-person workshop at the Davis Farmers Market as one way of getting some of the input that they're looking for. And then there will be a virtual forum that will be similar to the ones that have been scheduled for all across the corridor. So there're going to be a total of about five or six of these virtual events. So we're going to add to it some additional pieces to try to improve their outreach. And I appreciate you connecting them, the consulting team and CCJPA staff with me. We'll get an update to the board as soon as we get the thing established.
I appreciate that, Director Saylor, and we'll absolutely continue to support and update the promotion of those events. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Did you want me to go ahead, Jose, on the website update?
If you would, Kristen, yes, very briefly.
Yeah, sure. So just I'll keep it really high level. We're making a lot of progress with the selected web designer and developer to update the website. One of the key features that staff is really excited about is the fact that the new website is going to be much easier for staff to just go in and update on the fly, so it will be much easier to keep the content current. Another really high-level concept that you can just be aware of right now is that consistent with your recent recommendation to emphasize our multimodal activities. We had previously already been heading in that direction with the website where we're going to have sort of a two-sided website, one side focusing on YCTD in general and the kind of administrative portions of the agency, the board items, that sort of thing, and also the multimodal efforts that we're working on and planning efforts. And then another side of the website will be for YOLO Bus and really the public transit services that we offer. We did a screenshot here of the BKEG website because they have a similar sort of two-sided website where BKEG, they have a similar look and feel, but they are distinct websites and you can easily navigate. And generally speaking, people who want YOLO Bus information don't want to have to wade through a lot of YCTD information, so that would be on a whole separate website. And those two things, you could toggle back and forth between the YCTD content and the YOLO Bus content through some tabs in the top left corner. So again, a lot of the content we are working on writing new language, making everything just more clear, up to date. We're really excited for rollout coming soon. And sorry, I should just also mention that per previous recommendations, we are going to have a beta phase where you and our advisory committees will be able to look at the website before it goes live.
Excellent.
And that kind of rolls well also into a very brief update. Kristen, if you would, with respect to a microtransit update, are you all right?
Sure.
Specifically the Woodland expansion.
Yeah, so in the budget, you may recall, we budgeted in FY22 to continue the Knights Landing and Winters microtransit services at current service levels and to expand microtransit into Woodland. We created a visioning document kind of outlining the general parameters for what staff envisions a Woodland microtransit to look like when we roll it out. We're aiming for January 2022, no earlier than that. And we took that draft visioning document to the CAC and the TAC and got some good feedback from them. some of the key feedback from City of Woodland was that they want, as staff, to meet with us and talk about their city vision for Woodland Microtransit before we get too far into things. And we're very excited about that because we want to make sure that it's satisfying what the city wants out of this and that we are kind of jointly designing the new program. So we have a meeting scheduled with the Woodland city manager and other staff later this week. And we'll come back to you when we have more information.
Great.
Great.
So with that, I'd be happy to entertain any questions or to clarify any of the points in the director's report. The attachments are our May 2021 ridership to date for our current operating modes, as well as an updated long-range board meeting calendar, subject to this board's modification, additions, revisions, et cetera.
Do the directors have any questions clarifying anything that was just presented? Seeing none, do we have any public comment?
We do not have any requests at this time.
Going back to the directors, I just want to say that I think we really moved the ball down the field for transportation tonight. And we're really accomplishing a lot. And it's only 8:17. So some nights we're working a little bit later. I just want to say thank you to everyone. And thank you, Jose, for your hard work and Kristen's work and Janice's work and, you know, the directors. Everybody's just really giving their all. So thank you. With that said, I would like to adjourn the meeting and say that our next regularly scheduled meeting is July 12th. However, we will have a closed session meeting tonight with the board of directors, and we do not expect to have anything to report out. With that said, we will adjourn the meeting at 8:18. Thank you, everyone. See you
in the
session. Bye.
Have a good evening.
Thank you.